Good morning and welcome to Cox Media Group Houston's Public Affairs Show, FYI. My name is Susie Hanks. Basic financial literacy remains rather elusive in our culture between social taboos about discussing money and the lack of formal education about finance. Most of us just make do with what our parents taught us or trial and error. And for many people, especially women, that's just not enough. And it's so easy to get into trouble and to stay adrift without any good advice. And so with us today, we have Rebecca Loftus, who is the program coordinator, and Christine Powell, the executive director with the Women's Resource of Greater Houston. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for being here. This is something that I find that I myself have struggled with as a woman, financial literacy from the time when I was I was in college and I was in a car accident and I got a little bit of a money settlement, and my parents just opened up a checking account for me, and I just didn't have any other advice from them. And I remember it running out my last semester of college and just really being kind of adrift and then getting into the credit card debt and everything. And I think that happens to a lot of people, but women especially, because we aren't trained this way. And so that's what I wanted to talk to you about this morning. Tell me a little bit about the beginning of the Women's Resource of Greater Houston.
Sure, yes. The Women's Resource has actually been around for 26 years now, and we started out as a foundation really aimed at supporting female organizations. At the time that we were founded, there were very little research dollars or funding in Houston going towards organizations that supported women. And we have evolved over the last 26 years really to meet the needs of the women in our community. And that has led us to focus exclusively now on providing direct services in the community to women to help them achieve financial stability.
Yeah. And can you kind of maybe explain to me how that happened, how that, I guess, rose to the top of the list?
Well, you know, honestly, women will at one point in their lives manage their own finances. About 90% of women in America at some point in their life will control their own finances. And what we say at the Women's Resource is that a woman who controls her finances controls her destiny. And I really think that that is a profound message that speaks loudly to every woman, no matter where she is in her life. And so we really feel that to lift women up in our community, we have to provide them with those essential skills to manage their own finances so that they can live independently when they need to.
I remember when I was in school, these life skills, they weren't taught. Even in a home ec class, which you think should be, I learned how to make cookies, but I didn't learn how to do that. Are schools doing things differently now for younger people? And why is it that women, seemingly men and women, men go out and tend to learn it, and men and women don't?
Oh, you know, I think that the most powerful messages in society are the ones that aren't spoken. And so for women, I think that we still hear that it's best to find a man. That's your path to financial stability. You know, don't be a risk taker. You know, family is first. And so I think that it's just unfortunate that, you know, women just aren't provided with those same opportunities that men are to.
And the TEKS, the Texas Standards for Education, the Texas Standards for Education only recently added financial literacy. I think it was in the past 2 years. So this isn't being taught in school, which means, you know, like you said, so many people are learning about financial literacy from what they see other people doing. So, you know, if your parents never had a conversation with you about how they manage their money, or they had poor money habits, you're starting at a loss.
Yeah. There are a lot of families where the woman is in charge of the finances, and there's also a lot of women head of the household families. So there's a lot of I guess, women who are really taking the reins. But why is it so hard for some women to be able to do that?
Well, you know, I think that especially the women that we really focus on, it's, you know, they're struggling to, you know, gain some independence in their life. And so they didn't start out managing their own finances, whether it's because they were in a relationship, you know, where they didn't have to, or they just, you know, didn't see themselves getting a job. And so now, you know, they're left with very little, and they are trying to rebuild their lives.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about who comes to you and how they come to you. Give me some examples and of the people that you see and how they end up coming to see you.
Yeah. So we actually don't teach our finance classes or our group coaching out of our office. We reach our clients through partnerships with other direct service nonprofits in Houston. So, you know, we work with nonprofits that provide job training, like Volunteers of America. And so we kind of pair our services with their services. So someone who's going through a certification program would then also take a finance class. So it would be, you know, when you start your job, this is how you can think about managing that money, that new income you'll be having. We also work with some partners where someone's receiving emergency assistance. So someone who's really at their lowest financial low and feeling like money controls them instead of them controlling their money, they're getting a check to help pay their rent or their bills. And so, you know, we're teaching a budgeting class, we're teaching a class about savings, and we're saying, you know, it's possible. Here are some, you know, tools of the trade. Here are some tricks you can try. And so, you know, we're really trying to reach people who are, excuse me, out of the financial mainstream in a lot of ways.
Yeah. So organizations call you up, come to you, and they say, hey, come over here and teach a class. You don't have a center or anything, do you? Or do you have an office with classes there?
No, we bring our classes to the locations of the nonprofits we partner with.
And so the nonprofits will call you up, and do they pay for the classes, or do you have the volunteers that come and do it? How does that work?
Yeah, so we're actually the largest provider of free financial literacy classes, so the organizations we partner with don't pay for our services, and that's why we utilize so many volunteers. So we have a team of about 150 volunteers in Houston, and you know, some of them work in finance, so this is something they work with every day, but all of them, regardless of working in finance or not, are really passionate. Maybe they've had, you know, an experience in their own life, like you were talking about, where, you know, they had to suddenly learn how to manage their finances, and they want to pass that knowledge on to other people. So we have, you know, some really intrinsically motivated volunteers who, you know, they're flexible, and they want to go to these different locations and work with a variety of people to pass on, you know, the financial basics.
We are talking with Rebecca Loftus, who is the program coordinator, and Christine Powell, the executive director with the Women's Resource of Greater Houston. If somebody's listening right now, first of all, and they want to, they're not part of a group, but they do want to get this kind of training, can they call you and can they come or get involved with a group to be able to get that?
Absolutely. So they can call us. Our phone number is 713-667-4493. I also encourage them to visit our website at thewomensresource.org. They'll get a lot of information about when our volunteer opportunities, trainings happen. And they'll also get a really good sense of the partners that we work with and the individuals that we work with also.
Do you find that women of perhaps a lesser economic opportunity have the greater problems, or does this affect women of all, I guess, income areas? Tell me a little bit about that.
I think it affects everybody. I mean, even my dad is an accountant, and we talked about credit cards a lot growing up, and I had, you know, a pretty good idea of managing my money, but I didn't know about emergency savings. So I went through college, you know, spending everything but $100, and I graduated and had to start working the day after graduation. You know, I just didn't have something to fall back on, and I didn't realize how important it was. So even in a family, you know, that we talked about money frequently, we had, you know, a steady middle income, you know, coming in, I was lost. And so I think it's something that touches everyone.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So when a volunteer goes to one of the organizations and begins the class, tell me what you start with first, financial classes.
So we've been, you know, really encouraging our volunteers to have a conversational class dynamic. So they have a curriculum that they use during the class. So a topic like budgeting is what they cover, just one topic at a time. But we want them to make it conversational. So asking the audience, you know, what's worked well for you in the past? What's a way that someone here has tracked their spending? How did that work? Was it, you know, something you could see yourself doing now? And so they're building off of the classroom knowledge, and they're starting a conversation within that group to share strategies. And then from there, it's guiding and passing on tools and things that have worked for them and other resources they know of. So, you know, our goal with the classes is not a lecture. It's not, you know, you should be doing this. This is the only way. But it's more of, you know, we're all here. We have knowledge to share. We're creative. We're resourceful. So what can we leave this class with and what steps can we take today?
Yeah. So let's focus on some of the topics. You talked about savings. Tell me about that and how you help people to learn how to do that.
Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of people don't realize that savings is possible, especially because we're working with clients on such a low income. But, you know, part of that is looking at how much do I spend? You know, what is my bare necessity, you know, cost? And then where am I kind of wiggling around? So, you know, what other things am I spending money on? Restaurants, clothing, you know, even what type of transportation you're taking to work. Those are costs that you can change and flex. So, you know, looking at that and saying, could I save $5 a week? Could I save, you know, $10 a week is what we usually start with, low amounts. So a lot of people get intimidated by savings and they think if I'm not saving hundreds of dollars, it's nothing, you know, it's not worth it. But, you know, even a dollar can add up very quickly over time.
What I really love is that you're approaching this in kind of a group way because and instead of in, you know, specifically each individual person. So there's some mm-hmm. strengths there and people are pulling in lots of different scenarios, aren't they?
Right. Well, and there's yeah. power in group. You know, going back to what you said earlier, there is still so much shame and stigma around how you spend your money and how you manage your money. And so giving people an avenue to really hear that other people are having the same struggles that they are, I think is very empowering for the individuals in our classes. And empowering for our instructors, too. I mean, I know that, you know, just being a part of this organization has made it a lot easier for me to talk about finances with my children, with my parents who are retired now. It just becomes easier after a while.
Yeah, there is a stigma and there is kind of a taboo about talking about money. You don't want to talk about how much you make or anything like that. And so it's foreign to a lot of people because we're afraid of that.
Yeah, I saw a report recently where people would rather talk about sex or religion or politics before they would want to talk about their personal finances. So
yeah, we actually had one of our partners when we were talking about our new group coaching program, we were kind of pitching it to her and we said, we think this could be really good for your clients. And she said, I think my clients would talk about sex before they talk about their money. And, you know, it was one of those, it's so true. But, you know, how can we make that a comfortable conversation?
Yeah. It's also one of the main things that couples fight about, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's a lot of emotion attached to it.
Yeah, there's an example in one of our curriculums, actually, and I've seen it taught a few times, but I saw it the other day when I was observing a volunteer, and it's, you know, this couple, and they're talking about their expenses, and so they're getting into credit card debt, and, you know, one of them is buying, you know, power tools, the other one doesn't know about it, and the other one is getting manicures. So it's, you know, it's not the most realistic example. And, you know, the question at the end of this example is, you know, what is this couple doing wrong? And a lot of people say, you know, oh, she shouldn't be getting manicures or he shouldn't be buying power tools. But in this one class, someone finally said they aren't communicating, right? They don't know what each other are spending. And that's where the disconnect is. That's why they're spending so much more than they're able to. So communication within a family is important. And even, you know, we talked about single income households. In, you know, a dual income household also, you're sharing the expenses, you're sharing the income. So how do you want to manage that? And that's a very important conversation to have.
Yeah. Tell me about the banking. A lot of people, a lot of people who are coming to you don't really have any experience banking, do they?
Yeah, that's such a big surprise, you know, for our volunteers. And I think when I started working at the Women's Resource, it's hard to imagine living without a bank account. But it's actually, you know, it's extremely common. So 10% of Texans don't have bank accounts, much higher than a lot of us would think. And, you know, some of that has to do with I've never seen no one in my family has ever had a bank account. You know, I don't think it's necessary. Sometimes it's intimidating. You know, if you've never worked with a bank before, to suddenly think of like, oh, I'm going to go into this really formal environment. And then there's also alternative banking services that people may be used to using, like cash advance, payday loans. And so, you know, they don't realize how expensive and how predatory those lending locations are, and that that's a part of their routine and a part of their day-to-day life.
But also getting into banking can be very expensive if you are low income, because there's a lot of fees and penalties and things that you think you're going to the bank and opening up a checking account, and then you start really getting dinged by them too. And you have to be aware of that.
Yeah. Yeah, you do. I mean, but we all need to be aware of that. And that, you know, just part of learning how to manage your finances and understand where they are at all times. You know, the banks will charge you fees if you overdraft, but at the same time, if you don't have a bank account and you're cashing your paycheck, you could be giving somebody, you know, up to 5% of your check every single time. And that adds mm-hmm. up very quickly as well. And so what we try to teach our clients is that, you know, banks are a safe, you know, alternative, you know, to a check cashing place. But you do have to know how to manage your finances, or you will get hit with a lot of fees. Yeah.
Yeah. So our banking class covers a lot of that. You know, what questions should you ask a banker when you're opening an account? You know, what questions might you want to ask your current banker if you don't know the answers about the fees involved with your account and minimum balances? But we also have a resource that we pass on to all of our clients. Bank on Houston is actually, it's a citywide initiative. It's not a bank. It's not a nonprofit, but it's banks who offer, you know, free or no-cost checking accounts are part of Bank on Houston, and they also do second chance banking. So someone who has overdrafted accounts in the past and is now having trouble opening a bank account can reach out to the banks associated with Bank on Houston for, you know, a new option and a new, you know, a new trial at using a bank account and securing their money.
How many people do you think a majority, minority of people are coming to you and coming to the classes who have had bad experiences and feel burned, and that hurt them, and so they don't want to even try to overcome it? Because like, yeah. I can imagine that you get burned one time and you don't want to trust anybody ever again like that. And you don't know how to, you know, you just kind of want to avoid it.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I taught a class, one of the first classes I ever taught, I substitute when volunteers have a last-minute cancellation, and the first class I taught was banking. And what I had everyone do is, you know, raise your hand if you've had a good banking experience. And I had everyone share, you know, what's good about your bank? And so they would talk about convenience, and they would talk about, you know, I get along with my teller, or, you know, I was pre-qualified for a loan. And then we had people raise their hand and say, who's had a bad experience? And there were more bad experiences than good in that class. But I think, you know, hearing the benefits of banking, there was a spark there. There was, you know, maybe if I had read the fine print, maybe if I had had a conversation beforehand, I wouldn't have run into those same problems. So now, you know, with these tools, I can start afresh or start again.
Yeah. Yeah. Tell me another part of the class is budgeting.
Yeah, definitely. Budgeting is, I mean, it's the foundation of all of these topics, right? So if you don't budget, you can overdraft your bank account. If you don't budget, you have a hard time finding savings, you know, that room for savings. It's also, you know, if you're overcharging on your credit card, it's a lot of times because you don't have that skill to track your spending yet. You know, you don't have those tools in place. So it's such a huge thing to figure out a way to, you know, look at the fixed expenses, those must-haves, rent, you know, utilities, and then look at, you know, that flexible and figure out, you know, based on my income, what can I really afford? And that's something I'm still working on. I think all of us are still working on.
Right. I love the budgeting class because I really think that, you know, in addition to the skills that you're getting, it really forces you to have a level of self-awareness about where your money's going and the emotional triggers that cause mm-hmm. you to spend money. And so I really love just teaching those classes and just that topic in general. I mean, it is really truly the foundation of creating a financial future for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
You also deal with credit cards and credit repair, because a lot of people don't understand how the credit cards work or how to get out of trouble with them.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things I hear the most is, I don't have a credit card, I don't have a credit report, right? I don't have credit history if I've never had a credit card. And, you know, even one of our own employees was saying she doesn't think she had a credit history. And we pulled her credit report, and she had like a mattress that she had been paying in a payment plan was on her credit report, and it was incorrect. So, you know, these things... pulling your credit and knowing what's on that report is really good, just to know what's out there, but also to see errors. to look for signs of identity theft, and then to make a plan for how you want to pay back the debt that you have, whether that's, you know, student loan debt, something that a lot of us have, or, you know, maybe at some point in your life you weren't able to pay some bills, or you know, you got behind on credit card payments and now you want to address that.
Yeah, all good skills for everybody to be able to do. And I think a lot of people wouldn't be able to do that, but necessarily you guys are focusing and helping women. We are talking with Rebecca Loftus, who's the program coordinator, and Christine Powell, with the who is the executive director with the Women's Resource of Greater Houston. And we're talking about women and women who are coming to you who are probably already in some debt and already experiencing some things. Tell me how you're helping young women to maybe avoid this kind of situation.
Right. Well, you know, I think that these messages that we share with our adult clients can't be taught, you know, early or often enough. And so we actually have a program called RISE, where we work with girls for all 4 years of their high school tenure. And we teach them, you know, the foundations of financial management, but we also provide them with opportunities to think about what their life is going to look like beyond high school. And so we help them prepare paths towards, you know, secondary education and a future for them. So whatever that looks like, it could be a 4-year college, or it could be a, you know, a technical certificate. But we want them to begin thinking about that very early on and creating a plan. So
Tell me about some of the girls who have gone through it and some of the experiences that they've had. And one thing I'm thinking is, do they come in and then all of a sudden maybe they know more than their mom does, and maybe they want to help their mom get through something like that? Tell me a little bit about it.
Absolutely. So we do work with quite a few high schools in Houston. We do focus on girls who are at risk, so ones who are going to be the first ones to graduate from high school in their family, or are at risk for dropping out. But I like to say that they're really girls with just untapped potential that hasn't been, you know, activated yet. And so a lot of them do take this information and share it with their family. And I remember, so every year we give a scholarship to three of our clients who share their stories with us. And last year we had a girl in our RISE group who won a $500 scholarship, and instead of going and spending it on clothes or on some personal item for herself, she put it towards her family's debt and to help them get out of debt. So it's very rewarding to see that a high school girl, you know, is actually taking the information that you're giving her and really putting it to use.
So. Yeah, I'm just imagining, or I'm just going back to, I have a friend in college and she got a loan and she went and she got plastic surgery with it and didn't use it for school and then had to drop out because, and then, you know, had the loan. I mean, you do stupid things with money when you don't know what you should be doing with it.
Yeah.
This is a great skill that you guys are helping women with. So if somebody is listening and maybe they want to volunteer, because that's your bread and butter, these are the people who you rely on. Tell me about people who volunteer, what you need if somebody wants to volunteer, and how they can do it.
Definitely. So I actually I manage the volunteers with the Women's Resource. So the best way to get involved would be to visit our website and send me an email, you know, letting me know that you're interested. So our website is thewomensresource.org, and I'm Rebecca Loftus. I'm the program coordinator. So we host orientations once a month. So, you know, we do bring on new volunteers quite often. And what we ask of our volunteers is, you know, obviously a basis of financial knowledge, but more than that, we want someone who really believes in, you know, the possibilities for someone regardless of their level of education, regardless of their income, and wants to instill some confidence and some empowerment in the classroom. So that's a big skill. And, you know, we ask our volunteers to teach at least 3 classes a year. So, you know, some people say, you know, oh, I just want to get out in the community and I want to teach one financial class, which is, you know, really exemplary and something you can admire. But we do want volunteers who are committed to volunteering, you know, more than once, because just like with a teacher at school, you know, the more experience you have in the classroom, the more comfortable you are, the better of an instructor you are. So, you know, those first 3 classes are almost just the starting point before you can really relate to and understand the class audiences that we're working with and feel comfortable teaching the materials in a way that, you know, you're not reading from the page, but you're actually having a guided conversation.
And who are the type of people who come and volunteer with you? You said they're usually financial, that's their profession, but is that necessary?
No, not at all. You know, we get a lot of volunteers from some of our partners, banks that, you know, support our mission. But a majority of my orientations are actually just members of the community. So it is something to keep in mind. Our classes are usually during the daytime. They're between 8 a.m. and 6 p.m. But we have a lot of volunteers that work full time and they make time in their schedules. So they'll volunteer over their lunch break or they'll, you know, take the morning off and volunteer for an hour in the mornings. So, you know, keeping in mind that that is a time constraint. So we have a lot of volunteers who are recently retired. But we also have a lot of, you know, younger volunteers who are committed to volunteering and who bring this up to their employers and say, this is something I want to be doing. How can we make it work?
Yeah. Tell me about the funding for the Women's Resource.
Well, all of our funding comes from individuals and foundations and corporations right here in Houston. We don't receive any government funding. And so we rely heavily on our luncheon, which is April 20th this year. It brings in about 40% of our annual revenue.
And so tell me about that. Who can come and how do you get involved in that?
All right. Well, we are selling tickets online on our website. You can also sponsor a table if you, you know, have a corporation that's interested in supporting us. We would definitely be interested in having a conversation with you about that.
And where is it going to be? It's the 20th of April. Where is it going to be and what time?
It's at the Omni. And right here on Riverway, Woodway, and it is at 11:30. And Carla Harris is going to be our speaker this year. And she is a Wall Street executive with Morgan Stanley, but she's also a mother, a singer, an author of a new book that's coming out. So we're excited to have her.
Yeah. We're talking about teenagers, girls who are getting involved, who are taking the classes, and talking about women who are taking the classes. Do you see all ages of women? Maybe a woman who later on in life has suddenly found herself in the situation having to take over her finances?
Yeah, actually, I was observing one of our classes at a location where it's, you know, a fixed income residence. And it was interesting. We were talking about investing and the rule of 72, which is, you know, a rule that you can use to figure out how quickly your money will double. And one of the women in the class kept joking and she said, I'm 72 and I'm just learning the rule of 72. So, you know, we do teach all ages. You know, our adult classes are primarily, you know, for people 18 and up. But within that, you know, people are surprised that the average age is closer to, you know, late 30s, early 40s, actually.
Yeah, that's a little late to be taking control of your finances, but that's what happens. You suddenly wake up and realize you really kind of missed the boat and you need some help and you're there to do that. Thank you very much. We have been talking to Christine Powell, the executive director, and Rebecca Loftus, the program coordinator with the Women's Resource of Greater Houston, and the luncheon coming up on the 20th, and about donating and also helping out with funds, too. If you just want to call up and somebody wants to call you guys up and help you out or remember you in their will, they can do that, too, right?
Yep.
Definitely. Okay, and what's the website one more time?
www.thewomensresource.org.
Thank you very much for coming in this morning.
Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you.
You bet. My name is Susie Hanks, and you have been listening to FYI.